Trib Live Radio presents the Nittany Lion Nation Show, hosted by Trib PSU writer Chris Adamski. We are talking everything Penn State live right now. Trib Total Media. See what's next.
Maybe it's just because I kind of realized that since this many people listen to this program not live here, it's every Wednesday morning at 9 to 10 a.m. on sportstalk.triblelive.com. But via podcast in the ensuing days, week, whatever it might be. So it wouldn't actually be April Fool's. So it probably wouldn't make much sense to do April Fool's joke to open the show. But that got me thinking, then I'm like, I should have maybe solicited April Fool's ideas to at least leaving for the NFL within a couple years. And then, of course, all the Penn State detractors said after 1 year, oh, he can only win two conference games. He's not going to last here long or last there long because he's not good enough. So I thought that was kind of funny. So really saying that the Washington Redskins called and wanted to hire James Franklin really wouldn't have probably worked too well. You could do more on-the-field humor maybe, talking about switching positions or too much creativity or comic nature humor, I guess. I'm not funny enough. I'm not smart enough. Maybe that's it. I don't know. So I couldn't think of an April Fool's Day joke to play to open up this episode of the Nittany Nation Show on Trib Live Radio. However, it is not one of my favorite guests. I don't know if it's the biggest name guest, but I'm looking forward to talking to Steve Jones, longtime voice of Penn State. And I think he's up there in the hierarchy. We've had Bob Shoup on. We've had Mike Hall on. In the short seven. And he was, I did not realize that he was the PA announcer for Penn State football for several years before that. So that was something, anyway, he's going to be on. So we'll talk to him about some of those things, talk about the current Penn State football team and spring practice, what's going on. Talk to him a little bit about Penn State basketball I think it's fair to say that nobody has seen more basketball games, Penn State basketball games over the past 32 years than Steve Jones. Let's face it, who else would have been at every single game? He's probably missed a game or two for bowl games and where he thinks that's going. But mostly we'll talk Penn State football and also talk kind of some stories he might have, the cliche, what's your favorite moment of broadcasting games or, any funny Joe Paterno stories or Jack Ham stories or any of the players that, he's covered over time and everything. Of course, he gets to be part of the program. And I'm actually interested to talk to him a little bit about teaching. I know he teaches a class at Penn State, or he's part of the faculty. So I kind of want to get, that's kind of interesting to me and fascinating to me. So that program, I like to touch on all the other sports besides football, which this will take up 90% of this program throughout the season, throughout the year. Certainly throughout the season, it's 100% of the program. But I want to touch on all the other sports too. And, we've done wrestling and women's volleyball, the national championship level teams. And we've also done men's basketball. Of course, that's something that always moves the needle, even if the program hasn't been where they want it to be over the past, well, maybe forever. But I did find, by the way, here, Black Shoe Diaries. So. But I don't know the politics of wrestling. I don't know Kale Sanderson. I mean, I've had him on the show. Actually, he should probably go up there in the hierarchy up there with Steve Jones and Bob Shoup. Russ Rose. Don't forget about Russ Rose, the women's volleyball coach, too. Anytime you've won many, many national titles like those two guys have, they should be up there as in the Hall of Fame, if you will, of Nittany Nation guest. But Kale Sanderson let go by Penn State Wrestling. That's a pretty good April Fool's headline. Let Franklin shakes up depth chart, Lucas and Zettel to play different positions. And as you might expect, it's an April Fool's joke. Jordan Lucas will line up at defensive end. Anthony Zettel will be the primary kick and punt return. However, this is a program where Bill O'Brien, in his first game, had a middle linebacker returning punts, so maybe it's not so funny to have Anthony Zettel return punts. Anyway, again, if I had any shred of ability this season yet, so we'll talk a lot about Penn State football and some other things. Come see Steve Jones coming up next here. I'm Chris Adamski of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and this is the Nittany Nation Show on Trib Live Radio.
The
Pittsburgh
Riverhounds season is underway, and you don't want to miss the next home game coming up this Saturday night, April 4th. Exciting, fast-paced, highly skilled soccer at Highmark Stadium, the best sports scene and backdrop in the city of Pittsburgh. First-year head coach Mark Steffens leads his new-look Hounds into battle against the rival Rochester Rhinos in the United Soccer League. Be there for .com or call the Highmark Stadium box office at 412-325-7241 for information on how to obtain your tickets. Go to riverhounds.com or call 412-325-7241 today.
Now back to Nittany Lion Nation with your host, Chris Adamski, on Trib Live Radio.
Welcome back to the program. We'll be having Steve Jones on a little bit later here, a couple minutes in the program. Trying to get their team rankings for the recruiting class of 2016. We know what the 2015 class was. There it is, 2016. Live radio, love it. 12th in the country at the moment. Now, they only have five players. This is extremely early. All five of them are four-star prospects, but is a little bit, let's put it this way, they're right one spot ahead of Duke. And I would think that Penn State will finish with a better recruiting class than Duke. All due respect to Duke, who's actually had a, well, an unencumbered sanctions list, but you have to, judging by last week's or last year's recruiting class for Penn State and the job that James Franklin and his staff have done so far, and who these players have offers from. Now, are they all going to stay? I've talked many times about the recruiting class rankings and what I think of them, or at least the recruiting class, recruiting in general, then nothing matters. We're still 10 months from National Signing Day, so a lot of these prospects might not end up signing with Penn State. Remember, though, Penn State's had a few players already, or James Franklin and his staff, a few players from Alabama, or not from Alabama, but had offers from Alabama, so that doesn't just not necessarily mean anything like that, but we'll see. It's still a long way away to signing day, so I'll always try to temper things that way when we talk about that. But before we talk more recruiting, though, bring in our very, very special guest. And I often say, and I don't think that, like, anything away from any of our guests on the program, but this actually is a very special guest. The voice of Penn State, 32 seasons doing Penn State basketball. That's what's kind of surprised me. I didn't know Spikes. You do Penn State basketball. You do Penn State football. So that's probably, by my crude math, 120 games a year. You host two separate daily talk shows, weekday talk shows for 2 hours each, 4 hours a day doing that. You're a member of Penn State faculty. You have, what, four kids? Is that right?
Five
kids. Okay. Selling you short there. You must have a lot of, I just have two children and I have this little 1 hour weekly show and I have my other job where I write, but, you must be a lot of energy and be a busy guy.
And you get to do that 14 times a year because the blue-white game counts. And then you get to sit there with Dick Girardi on the Daily News across the state 34 times a year. And you get to watch some of the best basketball in the country because, I mean, there's going to be two Final Four teams that I saw, right, you know, in person, four or five different times this year, some playing Penn State, some in tournaments. And you sit back and you just put your feet up at some point and you say, you know what, how did you get this lucky that you...
Years, and he just had Mike Langday in Pittsburgh the other day. He's actually from the West Coast. He didn't really know anything about hockey whatsoever. He kind of fell into it. And he loves Pittsburgh now. He loves hockey now. And that's just the way it is. But it's not like he grew up thinking, I'm going to be the announcer for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They didn't even exist when he was a little kid, actually. But you get the idea. Do you have any history with Pennsylvania or Penn State before this? Or
I grew up in Enfield, Connecticut. And in fact, I played on the same Little League team with Peter King of Sports Illustrated.
Oh, look at these facts.
So in the small world, old times when I was a kid. So I had a great affinity for the school growing up, and I decided when it came time to apply for colleges, I wanted to apply here. My father didn't mind that at all. He thought that was great. I ended up getting accepted here. And they still haven't thrown me out yet.
Now, and the crazy part is, I don't want to speculate, or I don't. And you can more than welcome to say your age or anything like that. But you've been broadcasting games for 32 years. I'm wondering when you were visiting Penn State, was Joe Paterno? I'm sure he was on campus because he was assistant for 14 years before he took over as head coach for 46.
Actually, an assistant coach. I've been out here a long time, and but he was in his 10th year. So I saw the last 36 years.
There you go. Just the 36, yeah. Steve Jones, the play-by-play voice for Penn State football, men's basketball. Host the Steve Jones Show and Sports Talk with Steve Jones and Brian Tripp. If you're in the State College area or the Central PA area, 1430, 1070. Can't get through Penn State College Spikes broadcast games, which start, in late June. Is that something you enjoy, and how often do you get to do that? How long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been doing that now for 10, 11 years now. They asked me to do it as part of this Curley Center for Sports Journalism, and it's writing, it's public relations, and it's sports casting. So for some odd reason, they thought maybe I could handle the sports casting thing. So I thought, well, I'll give that a shot. And I didn't really know going in whether I'd like it or not. And Chris, I love it. I love getting up there and talking to students, and he, you know, graduates out of there and they end up getting a job and they get back in touch with you and they tell you, hey, look, I'm doing this now. And there's a sense of pride when something like that happens.
Yeah, like I said, that's something that's always fun and interesting, and I'm taken back here. I remember you came and spoke to our student radio at the Line 90.7 way back, depending on your perspective, I guess. I graduated in 02 from Penn State, so some interaction there. So I thought, I remember that for a long time now, so must have made some kind of impact.
And I think it's very important that if you do accomplish something, whatever that is, something is, I don't know what that something in my life is, and somebody asked you to do something to, quote, give back, well, people gave back a lot to me as I was coming up through the ranks, and I want to make sure that I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah, I can definitely respect that feeling for sure. Steve, it's a cliched question you probably get asked a lot and everything, but what are your favorite moments, favorite games, maybe favorite even personalities or anything you've had over broad?
In Pittsburgh, he has so many areas he can talk about, from Stanley Cups to Lemieux to whatever. And, you know, for me, I had a chance to broadcast Joe Paterno's 324th win to break Bear Bryant's record, his 400th win, his 409th win, the Orange Bowl game against Florida State was an incredible memory as well. You know, some of the recent memories here with the emotions surrounding Bill O'Brien and that team, the way they beat. You sit there, and when they beat UCLA in the NCAA tournament, they won the Atlantic 10 tournament championship game in Rec Hall in 1991. Doing that was incredible. The run to the Sweet 16, where they beat Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament, and then they beat North Carolina to get to the Sweet 16. That was big. The NIT championship game against Baylor when they won that. That was another great moment as well. So along the way, there have been some great moments. Obviously, you want to see, in fact, I've already talked to Matt LaPay of Wisconsin and Will Team of the Michigan State this week, their play-by-play announcers, to have them on my show. And, what a great thrill for them to broadcast the Final Four. Well, at some point in your lifetime, you hope the role of the base came up your way and you can do something like that.
Well, that actually segues well into before, and I definitely want to talk some current football team with you and everything, but the basketball program, and I kind of don't know where to, there's so many resources at Penn State, so many,
I have to have a coach that's absolutely passionate about recruiting. Doesn't just recruit because I have to recruit because it's a lifeblood of my program. You have to be passionate about it. That's where Patrick Chambers comes in, because he is. And I think you and I both know that the high school basketball level around Pittsburgh is really, really good. The high school basketball level around Philadelphia goes from very good to almost outstanding. It's in between where there's been a lack of Power 5 conference basketball talent, which would be Washington. Right? Koenig was the Wisconsin Player of the Year. Well, those are all guys that Bo Ryan can go and get, for example, in his own state. Well, for Penn State, Pittsburgh has a lot of really good players. Philadelphia area has some really good players. In between, no. And so you have to go into areas that aren't really your natural recruiting area to get guys, and that's where the passionate part comes in. He has transformed a lot of the athleticism in this program. And, given a little more in June after the late signing period's over with, and then his first game was coached the week everything went down here at Penn State, so you're not exactly in the greatest spot to get rolling. I think now he's got a couple things rolling in the right direction, and I think with that couple more years, I think then he's going to have this thing in a spot where I think people are going to be pretty happy with it.
Do you see, you know, you're around the program as much as anybody and around, you know, the Bryce Jordan Center and everything, and I'm, and I'll be diplomatic, you know, the fans, you know, a lot of times aren't, there's been some apathy at times over the years. They had been bad for so long. But they surprised me, and actually, beyond my expectations, how this city got some, you know, bucko fever there for a while and still have it now. Is that, I mean, what do you think would happen? And do you think that there's a hunger in Central PA to embrace a very good battle if this team did become a ranked team, a tournament team, a Big Ten title contending team, or, you know, whatever, however you want to define it? Is there a hunger, and do you think it really could explode and become? Because we see it in wrestling, we see it in ice hockey now, you know, you see it in volleyball, you see it, of course, in football.
Team games of the year. And they had made the move in the middle of the season from Rec Hall to the Jordan Center. Now, obviously, there's going to be a curiosity about, hey, here's the brand-new Bryce Jordan Center. So you get curiosity going for you in one area because of the building. But they also were ranked. They got ranked as high as eighth in the country that year in 1996. The building was sold out for all eight games. And they won all eight games in the building that year. And they averaged over 14,000 fans a game, where if the team plays well and the team attains some sort of ranking, people do jump on board.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's to me, somebody is my age and stuff, and I've given, you know, when I went to Penn State and everything, and actually when I went to Penn State, there was one of the Sweet 16 seasons in 2001,
right.
And I know that, you know, that kind of, you know, but and I love the tournament and more than anything, and I don't want to dwell too much on all this, so I'm going to move on here to football, but, you know, that happens, and it's a nice little run for that week, and everybody's really excited,
right.
But then, you know,
let me just go fly back. And he also, he gets off his phone and he looks at everybody and says, hey man, they all poured into the streets, they're rioting over Penn State basketball. How cool.
Yeah, it's and you know, and again, I'm not going to sit here and talk this whole time, but to me, it like stuff like, because that season, then the next season after that might have been the worst on-court season of the past. Maybe I'm not looking at the you know, the media guy, the 32 years you did, but that 102 season might have been the worst, two steps back kind of thing. And I just, you know, it's like people kind of accept it as it is, and you know, somebody won the best wrestling coach in the country, and Penn State went out and got the best wrestling coach in the country. And I'm not saying a coaching chain. That's not what I'm saying. I just mean there's a desire to be great in wrestling. There's a desire to be great in volleyball, a desire to be great in football and hockey now and everything else. And it's just like men's basketball, you know, that's just looking at it from the outside.
I understand.
Anyway, talking here to Steve Jones. I'm real thrilled to have him on, the voice of Penn State. Penn State, can you take anything from it? You know, be a position battle, some of the freshmen, whatever it might be, something. I mean, I don't, maybe you do, maybe you don't get to watch more practice than other members of the media do. Do you get to glean anything from that? Or and then this year's team in particular, is there anything you're looking at or want to see, you know, somebody step up here, who's replace Mike Hall, anything like that?
Yeah, a lot of good questions there, Chris. Number one, yeah, I'm there all the time, and I get that opportunity. And I can tell you right now, just because now the players know what to expect, the coaches now have a better feel as to what the players can and can't do. And because of that, you can see that there's just a better feel and flow to what's going on. Number two, I was talking with Mike Hall the other day, and because of the scholarship numbers that have finally gone back to where they should be, he looked at me and he said, I kind of feel like the program is where it was when I walked in. And I said, well, probably in 2016, probably will be like that, because they're probably, man's a redshirt freshman. Andrew Nelson's a redshirt freshman, which means neither one of them had played in a college game before on this date a year ago. Angelo Mangiero had played some. Well, now you have six guys in the offensive line that have all played. And that has made a big, big difference as to what they're doing. Christian Hackenberg looks really, really sharp so far. Lynch has experience. Now you've got wideouts that aren't kids anymore. You know, Godwin's now going to be a sophomore. Platnall's going to be a sophomore. Carter's going to be a senior. Then defensively, you mentioned Hall in the middle. Wortman's been through it. And Wortman is a guy that I think knows the defense every bit as well as Mike Hall does or did, because there were moments where Wortman would challenge Hall about what about this, what about that, and that's a big plus. Grant Haley's going to play more at that corner spot. That allowed them to take Jordan Lucas and then flip him to safety. That way you have your four best defensive backs on the field because you couldn't keep playing Lucas at corner and keep than he had a year ago at this time.
You're right. You look at it up and down, and there was so many. There's still some question marks and everything, but there are. You mentioned the offensive line is, even though there's still a lot of question marks there, is light years ahead where it was last year, and I like some of the moves you just highlighted there. Real quick before we get going here, just whether it be this season outlook or what's your level of confidence in this coaching staff and everything now that the sanctions are beyond, or at least the tangible sanctions. There'll still be some effects here for a couple more years, but long term for the program and everything forward with Penn State football.
Well, I think they're going to be a good football team this year. But you're right. First of all, you're in the division that's going to be Ohio State, which is going to be, to be honest with you, Chris, I think if you and I sat down a year ago, you and I would have thought that, hey, 2015 really is the year for Ohio State.
Yeah.
Well, they won it in 2014.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's 2015, and they might be better. I mean, when a coach sits down and he's trying to pick between Braxton Miller, Carlisle Jones, and JT Barrett at quarterback and says, I just don't know what to do in the country, as you and I both know. But I also think that Penn State now has put itself back into the mix. And they lost four games last year, I think, by a total of 15 points. So even last year, they closed the gap on some teams in this thing. And now with more depth and now experience from the younger players that have injected a lot more speed into this program. I mentioned Grant Haley, more speed. A kid like Torrence Brown at defensive end, more speed. In a while. And that's where I think they're going to be a lot better. They can run with almost anybody now. And it'll just be a question of, again, having a young team because of the, let's see, 80 scholarship guys are going to have, Chris? 41 are going to be either freshmen or redshirt freshmen. So there's that youth part. That's why I told Mike maybe 16 would be more like when you walked in because they had that extra year. But I think they have a chance to be very, very good this year. And then in 16, have a chance.
And inject some more, maybe pure talent onto the defense. It should be exciting to follow here the next couple of years if you're a Penn State fan. Steve, much appreciate you coming on. Thanks for your insights, your stories, everything else. Hopefully do it again sometime.
Chris, I enjoyed it a lot. Thanks a lot. I always enjoy every time we talk.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Steve. Nice to hear. That's Steve Jones. The great Steve Jones needs no explanation for your Penn State fan, the voice of Penn State. Over three decades, Penn State basketball, decade and a half of Penn State football. I forgot to ask him about doing a – well, I could have been on with him for the whole hour, probably asked him questions about being a PA announcer at Beaver Stadium. So, again, something I did not realize before I started a little research here before having him on the show. So thanks a lot to Steve coming on. We're going to get to a break here now. We're going to have – coming up next will be Rob Cooper, Penn State's baseball coach. We'll talk some Penn State baseball, where that program is and everything, and we come back here on the Nittany Nation Show on Trib Live Radio.
Come see what's new in boating in 2015 at the Lakeland Area Boat Dealers Open House Boat Show. Friday, April 10th, Saturday, April 11th, and Sunday, April 12th in Jamestown, PA. We are proud to offer the highest quality boats and outboards at affordable prices, making your boating experience the best it can be. So come out to the Lakeland Area Boat Dealers Open House Boat Show for new boats, pre-owned boats, and specials on Friday, April 10th, Saturday, April 11th, and Sunday, April 12th at any of the six locations mentioned to see what's new in boating for 2015.
Now back to Nittany Lion Nation with your host,
SportsTalk.TribLive.com, the rest of the week. Thanks to Steve Jones for coming on. Now we bring on somebody else here. Penn State coach, in his second season leading the Nittany Lions baseball program. A team that's won 5 in a row now and 7 of 8 heading into what is kind of the meat of Big Ten play here with a series at Ohio State this weekend and really kind of, they split 2 games to Indiana earlier this month, or well, it'll be last month now, but really kind of getting into the Big Ten schedule now is a good time to be starting to play your good ball. Be Rob Cooper. Rob, thanks for coming on with us here this morning.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
The team's kind of turn around. You feel good about where you're going as the, again, the meat of the Big Ten schedule starts up here this weekend?
I am happy with how we've done over, I'd say, the last 3.5 weeks. And, the reason why I am excited about it is because, we challenged our guys early. We put together a pretty aggressive schedule with a young team that is kind of turned over in the last year. And But we wanted them to get into that kind of mindset of these are the type of teams that we want to play. I just felt like we weren't competing. We weren't, you know, going about it, making the choice to play hard the way that I feel like we should. And we talked about it. And then our guys, you know, to their credit, have made a choice every day since then to compete and play hard. And you know, we're getting rewarded for it. And so I'm proud of it. I'm proud of them for doing that. And you know, we'll get ready to go here tonight against Kent State and this weekend and off on the Big Ten.
Now, if you look at sort of, you know, at the time your record wasn't very good, and at the time since then it's been good. Is there anything, you know, you guys look back to that inning? What kind of happened in that inning? Or was there anything you can – was that kind of any turning point for you that you can look to for your season?
Well, you know, where I'll say it's connected to a turning point is, again, we had a meeting Friday after we played Western Carolina. So that the Friday prior to us playing Pitt, you know, and – those guys made the choice. Well, the next day we play Liberty, and we play, you know, a close game. I hurt for you right now because you guys are playing hard and you have nothing to show for it. But we got to stay with it. Don't fall into that trap of wanting that instant gratification. You know, just because you play hard to compete doesn't guarantee you anything. And so that Tuesday is when we play Pitt, and same thing. We were grinding. We were playing hard. We were competing. And our guys just stayed with it. And then we got a hit when we needed it and made some plays and they got rewarded for it. So it was a combination of kind of those five.
You mentioned there instant gratification, kind of the, you know, in terms of the, you know, you doing your thing and working and, you know, trusting in the, I guess, the process. And I'm just sort of you throwing cliches that I think you're referring to. On a macro level for the program here, is that something that you know you're in your second season, you know, you had success coaching at Wright State, and you come to the Big Ten here, you know, there's been some losing seasons here the last 2 years for Penn State baseball. What kind of is the state of the program, and is that a fair way to put it? Kind of the, you know, the same thing you talked about there for.
Well, our business always felt like it'd be a championship level program, a regional type program, and. So when I was offered the job and took the job, I knew, I mean, I was very, very excited, but I knew that it needed to, you know, we needed to rebuild it. And, you know, and that was going to be in a bunch of different phases. It was going to be in reconnecting with our alums and, doing a better job trying to keep the in-state, you know, quality base, at Penn State. And then, you know, also, you know, learning how to win. You know, that sounds really silly, but, you know, when I was at Wright State, we kind of took over a similar situation, and we got hot, and next place in our conference that first year that we're there, and then all of a sudden our guys kind of look at each other and go, oh, gosh, you know, we got to win. You know, we're supposed to win now, and they didn't handle it well. We went on a 10-game losing streak, and it's just been playing hard, and the cliche you said is a cliche, but it's true. You know, sticking with the process. And instead of our guys after those two games at Liberty going, well, we did what Coach said. You know what? It didn't work. We got to, you know, we'll go back to what we were doing. Our guys just stayed with it. And, you know, you're starting to see some changes. And now the key is we're playing well. The key is if we hit a couple speed bumps, we got to stay with it then too. You can't just do it when things are going well. So, yeah, I like the direction.
You mentioned something there, you know, keeping one of the first things you mentioned is in building the program or getting the program where you want it to be is keeping the quality in-state players at Penn State. Just looking at from by my count, even if you dig all the top players in Pennsylvania, is there enough talent in Pennsylvania to win a championship? Or you know, because in my mind, and maybe I'm just, again, I'm just speaking crudely here or ignorantly, I guess, that you need to go, you know, get to go to the South where all the good baseball talent is.
Yeah. Number two is Pennsylvania. That means that more guys, more people from the state of Pennsylvania have made it to the big leagues than from the states of Arizona, Florida, Texas. Pennsylvania's number two. Last year when Vanderbilt played Virginia in the national championship game, there was set about, I think, six or seven Pennsylvania kids on those rosters. So you have a lot of kids in that game, and we got to do everything we can to keep those guys here. The thing that I love about PA kids and is that it's still a state of multi-sport guys. You got guys that are playing two, three sports, and so their best baseball's ahead of them. They're athletic. They know how to do multiple things, and they know how to play Pennsylvania, Maryland, you know, New Jersey up the, you know, the seaboard there, and then into the New England area. I think if we can do a good job in that area and really, you know, work hard to keep our PA guys in state, then I think, yeah, absolutely, we can, you know, we can be a championship ball club.
Talking to Rob Cooper, coach of the Penn State baseball team. Rob, how much of a – I'm sure you can't, you know, you know, the situation is what it is. You're not going to make it an excuse or whatever else, but is it tough at playing a northern school, you know, but the practice situation, the, you know, just as kids that want to go south and play more? I mean, even, you know, top high school players sometimes, they want to go to the south and be able to play year-round and, you know, be around more people that are playing year-round and everything else. Is that a big disadvantage for you, and how do you guys kind of work to overcome that whenever somebody might be recruited by an SEC school or whatever, when they're going, hey, we can practice outside in January and you got to wait till April?
Park and with Haluba Hall, you know, in January and February, we were able to play the exact same amount of inter-squad games inside full field as we would have if we had picked up Penn State and moved it to the middle of Florida. So our pitchers threw the exact same amount of innings to live hitters. Our hitters played the ball, you know, hit the ball, played it live off the bat, did everything that we would have if we had been outside. So we're at a distinct advantage when it comes to that because we do have the great facilities. And as long as there isn't, you know, snow on the field or it raining at the moment, you know, our groundspeople and Medlar Field is such a phenomenal facility that we're able to get the work done and do everything that we need to do to get better. The other thing that you're starting to see that is starting to show, you know, is, again, I'm up from the quote-unquote northern climates because, again, they're three-sport guys. And I think that it actually you're seeing fresher arms and guys that still have great baseball ahead of them because they haven't thrown as many pitches as those younger guys. You know, so 20 years ago, I would have said to you, yeah, the development opportunities down south to be outside and play are there. But I can speak for us at Penn State. We don't miss any development opportunities because of our great facilities.
Single A State College Spikes play there. How does that, you know, in terms of the home playing facility, you know, setting aside the, you know, practice facilities or wherever else, I mean, how does that measure up to your, you know, your Big Ten rivals, even some of the, you know, the non-conference games you're playing? Is that an advantage for you? What kind of, you know, how nice is that park, I guess, especially compared to your contemporaries?
It's a huge advantage. I mean, we've got unbelievable facilities with the locker rooms, the indoor hitting cages. We have a weight room right there on site. You know, it's a professional park. And so, you know, when we bring recruits in, it's a huge advantage in recruiting. When I got a job, I think it was College Baseball Daily ranked our facility in the top five of college baseball facilities in the country. So it's up there as one of the best, and it, you know, helps attract recruits. It helps us, you know.
Are Whippeal kids on your team from WPIL high schools, from Pittsburgh area high schools? From what I understand, Taylor Lehman, a freshman, seems to be playing a pretty prominent role now. Just to go through Nick Riotto, Dakota Forsythe, and Jake Pilowitz, also all young players, all your sophomores are freshmen, especially maybe Taylor. Where do these guys sit on your team and in your program right now?
Well, you know, the Whippeals, there's always really good athletes and quality baseball, and the great thing about that conference and that is competitors, and, you know, they're all working really, really hard to help us be a very good team. You know, Taylor Lehman has, you know, really solidified himself as a quality starter as a true freshman. He's a guy that we were very excited about getting. He was the first guy that committed to us when we got the job here at Penn State, and, you know, they know where they're at and what they're helping us do.
Rob, I'm about to let you go here, but I'm just finally just on the program overall. You've talked a lot about, you know, building up and everything, and you know, the program hasn't made a tournament since 2000, but there are five call. You know, we're going way back to between 1952 and 1973, so I don't realize it's a long time ago. You know, had a winning record as recently as 3 years ago. First of all, what's the outlook for the program? What are your goals for the Penn State baseball program? What is kind of the ceiling, or what are you guys shooting for? What do you think, you know, and how, I mean, you guys have
make Penn State a, you know, a national a national program, one that can compete for NCAA tournament berths on an annual basis and compete to get to the College World Series. And, you know, I look at, you know, the way this game's going and, you know, you look at what Indiana did a couple years ago, you look at what Kent State did a couple years ago, you know, there's no reason with the facilities and the quality of degree that we offer here and the you know, again, in our backyard, the quality of could go to a College World Series and compete. You know, and Penn State's been to the College World Series 5 times, and although it's been a while, they've shown it, they can do it, and our goal is to try to get us back there someday.
Rob, I really appreciate you having you on. Good luck to you the rest of the season and everything. Maybe we'll talk to you again sometime.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for making time for me.
Sure. That's Rob Cooper, coach of the Penn State baseball team. It's won 7 of 8 and 5 in a row heading into Wednesday night's game, as hopefully if you're listening to this, maybe they'll be 8 of 9 and 6 in a row by the time you might be listening to the podcast. But as we speak here live, they have a game scheduled Wednesday night, April 1st, or against Kent State at Medlar Field at Lebrono Park, a beautiful facility. If you're a Penn State fan, Penn State alum, you live in the area, you like baseball, cheap baseball, you don't have to pay for too much to buy a ticket for. It's a good, just like with the Pirates stunk back in the day, you go to PNC Park just for the experience, but you can see a program like every other program at Penn State, except for men's basketball. We talked with Steve Jones about how Penn State, with the facilities they have and the resources and the alumni base and everything else, you know, being in a populous state and everything and near New York City, athletic programs have always succeeded, except for men's basketball. So you have, you know, there's no reason, I guess, because, you know, there's the whole Northern versus Southern baseball thing, and I'm just a casual novice observer, so I'm not going to pretend to know, you know, the intricacies of the coming on. Also, a big thank you to Steve Jones, the play-by-play voice for Penn State football and basketball. If you're in the central PA area, he has a week daily talk show on News Radio 1070, on ESPN Radio 1430, pretty much all the afternoon for 4 hours straight. Somewhere, Steve Jones is hosting a show, and then he's teaching classes at Penn State, through the State College Spikes, as we referred to earlier. So follow Steve Jones on Twitter, or his show, at Steve Jones PSU, Rob Cooper at 16 Rob Cooper, and at Penn State Base. So thanks to Rob Cooper and Steve Jones for coming on. Thanks to you for listening.